Morning. What a blessing. Good to have Brother Tom with us. I sure do appreciate him. I appreciate his prayer life. I'm glad he prays for me. I'm glad he prays for our church. A lot of folks can be bought. But I know he's not for sale. I sure am glad. He sure has helped me in the Word of God. I appreciate it. Love you.
We began this morning and want to continue tonight. Looking at the subject of death ain't what it seems. Death has gotten an awful bum rap. And the Bible always sees it as a good thing, not a bad thing. Always sees it as a gain and not a loss. I preached this morning on death and its revelation. I realize this morning it must be revealed to you that death does not have any more power over you and that all your sins are gone. But I promise you this morning, if you're trying to walk in victory, Satan is not impressed with your willpower. Satan's not impressed with you. I will do better. I got this thing down. I will do better. He ain't impressed with it a bit. But if you ever take him to the cross and rub his nose in that and tell him that all your sins are gone, death don't have no power on you, he'll back off from you. I'd been preaching for 15 years, Athens, Georgia, pastoring a little church right there on the university campus. We brought a young man in to work on the university campus. His name was Michael. I remember him coming in my study one day and he told me, he said, "Did you know that all your sins was gone and that death didn't have no more power over you?" I told him, I said, "You sound like a heretic." I said, "I've never heard such foolishness. All my sins are gone?" I said, "You mean every one of them, my past, present, future sins?" He said, "Yeah, all of them gone." I said, "You mean to tell me I ain't gonna never die?" He said, "Yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell you." I said, "You're a fool." I said, "You're crazy." But I begin to search the scriptures to see if those things were so or not. And when I did, it set me free. And the blessings of everything that I've had and every success I've had in my ministry has its roots in what happened in that study that day. I wish we could get a hold of that tonight. That death doesn't have any more power over you. All your sins are gone. You say, "Preacher, what good would it do for me to do that?" I've been wrestling with this thing about my daddy dying. I'll be honest with you, I don't want my daddy to die. I'm very close to my daddy. I talk to him 2 or 3 times a day now. He's been in and out of the hospital, been in and out of the rehab. He's been in intensive care and out of intensive care. He's been in step down, step up. He's been in everything known to man. He wants to go home Friday. I'm going to take him home. They done with him. They done all they could. He said, "I just want to go home." And that's where we're going to take him. But several weeks ago, I was up here in Cedartown, Georgia. And we had him in out of intensive care, and we had just gotten him out of intensive care. And my cell phone rung at 1 o'clock in the morning. Your cell phone rings at 1 o'clock in the morning. Ain't nobody calling you to tell you something good. And I picked up that cell phone. It was my sister-in-law. She said, "We've put him back in intensive care. He can't breathe." She said, "He's gasping for every breath." I hung that cell phone back up, and I laid back in that bed, and death sat in that bed with me. I ain't never been so scared in all of my life. And I went back to these roots that I realized death didn't have no power over me. Sin didn't have no power over me. And I began to rub Satan's nose in that. And I tell you, life flooded that room like I ain't never had life flood a room before. And I laid in that bed in Cedartown, Georgia at 1:30 in the morning and worshiped God. That's where those truths will take you. It's where it'll free you tonight. I want to go a little further in our study tonight. Death ain't what it seems. I want to preach tonight, if you've got your Bible there, from Romans chapter number 5. I want to look tonight at death and its reign. Death and its reign. You got your Bible there, Romans chapter number 5. How long has death been reigning over us? Oh, for a long time, huh? Been reigning over us for about 6,000 years. One little old trip of you through here and your little old willpower. I tell you, preacher, I've got some help this meeting. I've turned over a new leaf. I'm going to do better. I'm going to tell you something. The devil ain't even going to burp. He ain't scared him. You can get this little old altar all you want to and whine, cry all you want to. He ain't going to scare the devil a bit. But if you ever take him to Calvary and rub his nose in what Jesus did, he'll back off from you. Back off from you. Death and its reign. Romans chapter number 5, Luke verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. Death by sin. There's a great connection between death and sin. Death and sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Look at verse number 14. Nevertheless, death reigned. That's that little word we're looking at. From Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the multitude, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. You may be seated. Death and its reign. In order to understand this passage of Scripture, death's reign, we must lay some foundation for just a second. If you could hold your finger right there, I just want to read a verse or two out of the book of Genesis, if you've got your Bible there. I hate to read a text and then leave it because you think I'm going to leave it, but I promise you, I'm coming back, and I'm coming back with both feet. Genesis chapter number 3. We're talking about death and its reign. Could I mention, first of all, in our study of this little thought tonight, the curse of this reign. The curse of this reign. I notice in Genesis chapter number 3, if you've got your Bible there, it was a horrible curse. I didn't know if you noted or not, but when you come out of your mother's womb tonight, when you took your first, took that first breath, you were under a horrible curse. Woo, son. Hammer of God's judgment was cocked on you. Only thing between you was air and opportunity. And God fixing to take a breath on you. Watch the text now. Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground. If you don't study the Bible, every word, you won't catch a lot of wordplay. He said, cursed is the ground. I'm extremely interested in that little word, ground. Because he plays on it, this whole interesting opening text of Scripture in the book of Genesis. Cursed is the ground. But just for a second, that little word curse, a horrible curse. The little word curse there means to put forth from the presence of. To call detestable evil. I didn't know if you know tonight. I hate to upset you tonight. But when your mama, I noticed some of you got these little old babies and y'all love them to death. You think they're so cute. But do you realize when your mama held you for the first time, God looked down there and said, there's another detestable evil thing. Detestable evil. I had three boys. I raised three boys. You know, I never had to teach them how to lie. Call them, no. We never had no family devotions. I said, and the boys were going to have a family devotion. I'm going to teach y'all how to lie. I never had to teach them how. Some way, somehow, they learn how to do it. And some of you don't think yours lie. You just think, you know, just some little something they're going through, a little stage they're going, oh, no, it's their depraved nature. I know you can blame it on everything. You know, they just don't feel good. You know, they're teething. you can just blame it on all kind of things you want to. But they're detestably evil. Wicked. How come? Been cursed. Cursed. Watch the text now. Horrible curse. But I notice, if you got your Bible there, it's a humiliating curse. He says here, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until thou return unto the ground. Now watch that little word ground. He'd been playing on it. And if you don't study the words, you'll miss it. This little word ground, he used it there in verse number 19 and he used it in verse number 17. It is the same word as the third word in verse number 17. And unto Adam. Same word. Ground. I don't know if you named your child Adam or not. I'm not going to knock you if you named your child Adam. It just means dirt like. Good name to name him. But that little word there is to take gray powder dirt and just smash it into powder. He said, Adam, that's where I found you. And he said, that's where you're going to return. You're detestably evil. And he said, all your descendants are going to be dirt like. What a horrible curse. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul tells us later over in 1 Corinthians, he said, we have this treasure. If you're saved tonight, Christ, you have this treasure. He says, in an earthen vessel. Earthen vessel. I've shared this with you before. The little word earthen there is the little word dirt-like. And the word vessel there is the word bag. You got it? If you're saved tonight, you got Jesus in a dirt bag. You might be a cute dirt bag. You're still a dirt bag. That's all you are. Do you know that they're teaching your kids down there at public school to have self-esteem? All think good of themselves. Oprah's teaching it. Dr. Phil's teaching it. Oh, y'all think good about yourself. How can you think good about a dirt bag? Dr. Phil, how can I think good about I'm a dirt bag? Oprah, how can I think good I'm a dirt bag? Huh? Did you know everybody in the Bible, when they saw God, they hated themselves? Isaiah, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he hated himself. Job said, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he abhorred himself. Do you know the world's trying to teach us to like ourselves? Oh, you ought to think good about yourself. You don't like yourself. If you don't love yourself, you won't. You ever get close to God, you hate yourself. You see how deplorable you are, how wicked you are. Are you listening to me? Curse of this reign. But go back now to our text that we read. Romans chapter number 5. Not only do I want us to see tonight the curse of this reign, but I want us to see the captivity of this reign. Captivity of this reign. He said here in our text, verses 12 and 14 of Romans chapter number 5, we're confronted with the authority of this captivity. Preacher, how long has death been over me? Oh, for a long time, huh? Watch the text. He said, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed. I wanted to underline that word, sort of highlight it a little bit. Very important word. That little word pass there means to transverse, to pierce through and through every fiber. Did you know when you come out of your mama's womb, Paul said that God had pierced through every fiber of your body with death. Did you know that rigor mortis, when you come out of your mama's womb and that doctor slapped you for the first time, you went, what? Did you know rigor mortis already set in on you? That's how come you had the right guard and left guard. That's how come you stink. If I can bring that CSI crowd in there, you know, either the Monday night CSI crowd or the Wednesday night CSI crowd or the Thursday night CSI crowd, it don't matter which one I bring in here. If they could come in here tonight after you get up and after you leave here tonight and they can do some scrapings around there where you're sitting, they'll find your DNA and all kind of dead things you're leaving right now. They're just dropping all off of you while you're sitting there. All kind of dead things falling off of you. How come? You dying right there where you sit. Pierced through with death. I don't know how you think about it. Boy, it's hard to have self-esteem about it. Woo, look at me, I'm dying. I'm a dirtbag. Woo, I'm excited. You imagine tonight you'd be foolish enough not to get to God in that condition? Ain't no hope for you, huh? He said, oh, you're going back to the ground. Watch the text now. I'm talking about the authority of the captivity. He says here in verse number 12, death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Verse number 14, nevertheless, death reigned. Extremely interesting, that word reigned. The little word there, reign, is a platform of power from which to rule from. It is the word for leverage over. God, in the mysterious confines of eternity past, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, sat down one day and said, what could we possibly do to hold the greatest leverage over mankind? They decided, let's get him out of the ground, out of dirt, and let's send him back there when we're done. Let's let him die. What a leverage to hold over man. So death has reigned over man all these years. 6,000 years, there has been the authority of this captivity, the reign of death. You still got your Bible there? Look at Hebrews chapter number 9. We're talking about the captivity of this reign. We've looked at the curse. Cursed. Deplorably evil. Hey, you got that little baby tonight? You look at it tonight and say, this little baby is deplorably evil. This little baby is going to grow up and cut my heart out because of the curse. And if some way, somehow, we don't learn how to live forever, there's no hope for that curse. It'll reign over us. So we see here the captivity of this reign, the authority of the captivity. But look in Hebrews chapter number 9. I wish God wouldn't have put this verse in the Bible. I hate it. Because here in this captivity, not only do we see the authority of the captivity, but we see the appointment with the captivity. He says in verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. After this, the judgment. There's an appointment. I was interested in that little word appointment there. It means to be reserved as a reservation that waits a particular time. You know you got an appointment with death. I don't know when it is. David said over in Psalms 19 that he watched sunrise, sunset, day unto day. And he got a message from it. He said it was speaking to him. What kind of message did you get from it, David? He said, I decided to wonder how many more I had. Y'all see the sunset tonight? Man, it, right there. Right there in that window right there is where it set. I was the wonder tonight. I wonder if you'll ever see any more sit in that window. Do you know that that might have been your last one you ever see sit right there? And some of you didn't even look at it.
Hey, there's another sunset.
You know that was your last one. I guarantee you to sit there like this. Huh? One of them's going to be your last one. I don't know if what's going to be your last or not, but one of them's going to be your last one. It's an appointment with death. Oh, what captivity. He watch the text here, verse 27. He says, and as it is appointed unto men, once. Don't do it one time. Once to die. That little word once is not a repetitive action. Now you remember this little verse was written after all the resurrections in the Bible were done. The last two resurrections in the Bible was Dorcas and the little old boy that fell out the window. After those two resurrections, last two in the Bible, then this verse was written, pointing at a man once to die. So this little old crowd that say they have them out of the body experiences and they die, they lying to you. Right. You can't have one of them. Right. You say, preacher, I've had one. I tell you what, it's either drugs or pizza you eat. You can't die but once. I ain't gonna do it but one time. It's over with. Watch this text now. We're talking about the appointment of the captivity, and he said, after this, judgment. Face to face, what will it be? Wonder what it would be like tonight to step into eternity, face to face with God Almighty, and him shuffle through your life, your idle words. Wonder what it would be like to go to, wonder what it would be like to step out into eternity from a church service where you've been sitting there wishing I'd hurry up and get done. I wonder what that'd be like. Him shuffle through all your little idle thoughts. Your little old mind wandering all over the place. You never bringing it back under control. Making it do what you want it to do. Oh, I tell you, it'd be horrible tonight. Captivity of this reign. Oh, if only somebody could find out how they could live forever. Man. If I could find out tonight and figure out a way where I could put death down and I could take care of all my sins, I'd be free. I'd be free. I got good news for you. Somebody figured it out. I didn't know if you had figured it out or not. But there has been somebody figured it out. Watch the text now. We've looked at the curse of this reign. We've looked at the captivity of this reign. Can I look at the cure for this reign tonight? The cure for this reign. Oh, this is so good. I hate to even start down showing it to you because I know you ain't going to believe it when I start. Hebrews chapter number 2. I'm going to read several passages of scripture to you. We're talking about the cure for this reign. Oh, I wish you could write these verses down and get them in your heart. This is basically the little study I did 15 years ago when God set me free and I realized death didn't have no more hold on me. All my sins were gone. Oh, I tell you, I like to have a spell. And I keep going back there now and I get excited about it again. I'm talking about the cure for this reign. What is the cure for this reign? Number one, he identified with my death. He identified with my death. Watch it in Hebrews chapter number 2, verse number 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that's how you got here from your mama, flesh and blood. He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death. That is the devil. He entered into death. How come? So he could destroy death's power over me. He identified with my death. I'm not going to tell you identify with your death. I don't know if he did or not. I don't even know if he died for you or not. I ain't got a clue. Only person I'm sure of in this whole building tonight, including your pastor, that he died for is me. And I do know when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Matter of fact, I about come to the conclusion I'm the only person he died for. Huh? You know, some of you are looking at me like he about got you convinced of that too. Huh? Treats me like I'm his only child. He's always petting on me. Huh? Every time I turn around, he's stroking me. Huh? Oh, I love it. I love it, I love it. Watch the text, though. Look at verse 15. And delivered them who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Did you notice he didn't say, I took upon myself the world? No, he said, I took upon myself the seed of Abraham, that godly bloodline. He said, I took upon myself them. Watch the text now. Verse number 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and a faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of... Didn't know if you'd see that S or not. He's dealt with death and sin. He identified with my death, took it away. Identified with my sin, took it away. It's gone. It's gone. You say, preacher, I don't feel like mine's gone. I don't either. I ain't going by feelings. I'm going by this book. The book says it's gone. You going to believe your feelings? Believe this book. Watch the text now. Oh, this is so good. Look in Hebrews chapter number 10. We're talking about he identified with my death. Oh, Grace, if you ever get a hold of this, you kick back in out of your cry robe. You have yourself a spell. Chapter 10, verse number 17. Let's back up verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their hearts and thy mind, and I will write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Put S on a Bible word, that's all of them. All your sins, all your iniquities. Watch that little word, remember. It means to put behind you. God said, I'm going to put all your sins, all your iniquity behind me. Watch this now. That little word, remember, means to remove from the mind that has the power to recall. God said, when I saved you, I took all your sins and I put them in that area of my mind where I don't have any ability to recall it. So now, David, if the devil comes to Jesus and said, you remember when old David used to do such and such? You know what Jesus is going to say? I ain't got a clue about it. You know what he's going to tell the devil? He says, as long as I've known David, he's been perfect. I ain't never seen him do anything wrong. Yeah. Whoa, son! You imagine you ever get a hold of that? You start acting like that. Huh? But see, you know what you've gotten hold of? You know what we've gotten hold of at the Baptist church?
I tell you, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace.
You keep telling yourself you're an old sinner. You know what you'll be? You'll be an old sinner. You listen to me? He said, I'll remember them no more. Oh, they're gone, they're gone, they're gone, they're gone, they're gone, they're gone. Watch the text now. Galatians chapter number 3. He identified with my death. Took my death, my sin upon himself. Galatians chapter number 3. Verse number 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Hey, you don't have to look at me anymore and say, boy, that is a deplorable, evil thing. How come? He's taken that away. In Christ tonight, I am as holy as he is tonight. All my sins are gone. He has declared me righteous. You say, preachers, all your sins gone in your practice? Ask that old gal back there if all my sins are gone in my practice. She can tell you tonight, no, 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 no. I've seen him mess up this weekend. But I'm extremely interested in my position, in my practice, catching up with one another. And I start acting like my position. My position tonight is all my sins are gone. And as long as I just live on willpower, I'm going to try to do better, I'm going to do better. I won't scare the devil at all. But if I take him over here to these verses and rub his nose in and say, hey, you see there? Jesus took my curse. You see there all my sins ago. He'll back off from you. He'll back off from you. Can't fight that. He can't argue with that. Watch the text now. You still got your Bible there? Look in Psalms 103. I hate to even show you this one. This is explosion type scripture here. Huh? It's explode inside of you. All my sins gone. He identified with my death. Hey, what is the cure for putting death down where it don't rain on me no more? Won't have no more bondage on me. Won't put rot in me. Rigor mortis, filthy thoughts, ungodliness, sin have power over me. How many of you tonight are sitting here, you're sick and tired of the same old sins tonight? I got two or three tonight I'm sick of. I've had it with them. I have had it with. I am sick of having to go tell God I'm sorry I've done it again. I am sick of it right up to there. I want free. How am I going to get free?
I will do better. I will do bad. I will do bad.
Read your Bible all you want to. You ain't going to do no better. Till you take Satan to where the victory's at. Victory's at the cross, where it's already been won. Watch this text, Psalms 103. This is such a powerful verse. Oh, look at verse number 3. Psalms 103, verse number 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? All of them. Wonder how many of that is? All of them. Forgiveth them. Remit. Take them away. Remove. Bear them no more. The old song, It Is Well With My Soul, the old songwriter said, my sin not in part, but the whole was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. They're all gone. Grace, if I get a hold of that, I'd shout. Huh? You imagine you sitting in a Baptist church tonight and believing all your sins are gone, sitting there like this. Huh? I know it ain't dawned on you. It dawned on you, I had to get happy or something. Huh? You dance a jig or something. Watch the text now. Psalms 103, verse number 12. He said, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions. Ah! Didn't know if you see that S or not. I thought I'd underline. That means all of them. He said, I removed them from you. Well, how far did you want them removed? Because I'm extremely interested how far he took them away, because I don't want them coming back. Huh? Because you know I have done some bad things, and I thought they were forgiven, and I get around somebody and they bring them up. Huh? You ain't never had nobody bring up anything on you, have you? You know, and he said he's forgiven them. He's taken far as east is from the west. I don't want to get in heaven somewhere and he bring them up again. What is this thing far as east is from the west? Wonder how come he didn't sling them north-south? Maybe David could have wrote. I mean, he could have wrote in the text, God hath removed our transgressions as far as the north is from the south. You better be glad he didn't write it like that. Wouldn't have helped you and I none. How come? North and south got poles. You leave out here, go north tonight. Sooner or later, if you go far enough, you're going to start going south again. You won't ever have to turn around. East and west don't have no poles. You hit out here, driving your car east tonight. I promise you, you won't ever go west if you don't turn around. You'll go east forever. You'll never go west unless you turn that car around. So he said, when I saved you, I took all your sins and I slung them as far as the east is from the west. How far is the east from the west? Ain't no poles. He said, I slung them so far from you, I won't ever get back with you. Son, do you know some of you got skeletons in your closet been bothering you for years? Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if you go in that closet tonight and cleaned it out? Huh? It's gone. It's gone. Some of you did wickedness years ago. You ain't never forgot. It just eats your hide all the time. It's gone. It's gone. Isn't that wonderful? One more. We're talking, preacher, what you talking about? We're talking about the cure of this. Hey, boy, if I could only live forever, if I could only know that my sins were gone. I got good news. It is gone. Death's been taken care of. We're free. We're free. Yeah. He identified with my death. Watch the text. You got your Bible there? Micah. I hate to even go. This is a double dynamite explosion verse here. I don't even know if you can handle it. You better just tiptoe around this little old verse. It's hidden away over there in Micah. Oh, Micah's one of them books you ain't been in years ago. It's all stuck up. Huh? Micah. Get to the book of Jonah. Take a right. Should be at Micah. Chapter number 7. Micah chapter number 7. Verse number 19. He will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities. Ain't you subduing your sin?
I tell you, preacher, I've got help. I've got help. I've got some victory in this service. I'm a new man now.
No. You fixing to get asphalt rash as you slide across the eternal highway of doing better. Right. All you going to do? He said, I'll subdue your iniquity. Watch the text now. And thou will cast all their sins to the depths of the sea. He said, when I saved you, he said, I took all your sin and I cast them into the depths of the sea. One of the deepest part of the sea, they say, is several miles deep. The deepest point of the ocean. He says, I have cast your sin to the deepest part of the ocean. I know this is a silly illustration, and please forgive me for telling a silly illustration, but this silly illustration has helped me so much. There was a Baptist church not long ago, had an old man in the church. It's like our dear brother here in the back, just loved to shout and was constantly would just come unglued from time to time. And the older he got, the more unglued he come. And they got tired of it. Felt like he was interrupting the services. So they felt like if they put him in a side room off of the auditorium, they maybe could have some services. They put him in there. The first Sunday morning, about halfway through the morning service, he was tearing that room up in there, shouting and hollering. The pastor asked him after the service, he said, pray tell, what did you find in that room? He says, I felt like that room was empty, want nothing in there. He said, preacher, there wasn't anything in there but an encyclopedia. The S. And he said, I got to reading about how deep the sea was. And I realized that God had put my sin at the bottom of the sea. And he said, I could not contain myself in this room. Oh, I wish we could get a hold of that tonight, that our sins are gone. They've been buried in the depths of the sea. He identified with my death. But watch the text. You got your Bible there. Galatians chapter number 2. I'm almost done. I just wanted to come by here. I just really drove over tonight to tell you this. Death ain't what it seems. It's been taken care of. And all my sins are gone. Oh, grace, isn't that good news? Here's so much bad news. Galatians chapter number 2. Not only in this cure. How can I cure the reign of death over me? Preacher, how can I quit bowing to sin? Especially these one or two besetting sins. I keep giving in to them. How can I get over them? Here's the cure. He identified with my death. But watch this one here in Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 22. I want us to see that he imparted to us his resurrection. He imparted to us his resurrection. Look at verse number 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. I am crucified, past tense, with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I'm not living it. I'm not trying to do better. I'm not trying to live for Jesus. I quit trying to live for Jesus years ago. You can't live for Jesus. He demands perfection. He demands for you to act like death don't have no power over you and all your sins are gone. You can't act like that. He's got to do it through you. Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. Oh, did you know, it's an awful deep statement. I hate to even make this statement because I know some of you are going to look at me like a deer caught in headlights. Did you know a Christian's the only person to ever get to go to his own funeral? Right back at you. I'm going to run it by again real slow. A Christian is the only one that gets to go to his own funeral. When I died, when I was saved, he reckoned me dead, reckoned me crucified on the cross. That was my funeral. I was very much alive and got to attend my own funeral. Grace, that'd be worth shouting about right there. Right there. Oh, I'm talking about he imparted to me his resurrection. You still got the Bible there? Ephesians chapter 1. We'll look at a couple more verses in this thing. We'll bring it to a close, tie it together, and leave it. Rain. Death and its rain. Look at verse number 19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. He said, when I saved you, he said, I used resurrection power to raise you from the dead. When I saved you. Same power that I used to raise Christ from the dead. Watch that little word power there. It is the little word dunamis. We get our word dynamite from it. Dynamite from it. What kind of power did he put inside of us, preacher? Same power that keeps all the celestial beings going. Did you know that the sun, they say that we're afraid Iran's going to nuke us. Afraid they're getting a nuke together. I didn't want to upset you. God's been nuking you for years. Oh, yeah. 600 billion pounds of nuclear explosion every second off of the sun. Only thing holding it there is a gravity pull. And we're seeing the explosion of it. Matter of fact, I read an article not long ago. You know, we've got to save the earth, people. You know, they're saving their plastic and all that. You imagine saving your plastic, you think it's going to change anything down here? Think it's going to make it last longer down here? You know, save a few deer for us to run over with the truck, save a few trees for us to hug and all that thing. You imagine thinking that's going to make this last any longer? I read a little article the other day said, talking about the sun. Said they believe, scientists believe right now it'll burn another 50 billion years. I don't know about you. That'll be long enough for me. I mean, if it'll burn 50 more billion years, I feel like it'll just take me on in, you know, keep me warm enough till it's all over with. Huh? Don't you think God needs you to keep your little old plastic, your little old cups, and keep the little old earth clean, and it's gonna make it last longer? That's some Al Gore's mess. No. He says, I put power in you. That little word power, that little word dunamos, that which keeps all the energy of the sky. But that little word dunamos there, it is akin to our little word dynamite. You ever see them set them charges in these big buildings, going to bring one of them big buildings down? They put all them charges all over the building. Then some little old guy goes across the street and he gets in hiding somewhere over there where he can just see good. And he got that little box. He pushes a button. Ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. It's that little box. The little word he used there for power, it's not the ba-boom, it's the box. When he saved me, raised me from the dead, put that box inside of me. See, most Baptists I know, to get saved, they only ba-boom one time. They finish ba-boom, you don't hear ba-boom no more. Huh? See, when he saved me, put me in Christ, showed me death was a has-been, all my sins gone. He put that ba-boom inside me. I keep on ba-boom. I got up this morning, ba-boom. Huh? I got around y'all this morning, y'all singing and stuff. Something inside of me going ba-boom, ba-boom. Huh? Some of you sit in a Baptist church, you don't ever have feel nothing inside of you. How come? Huh? Watch the text now. We're talking about here that he imparted to us his resurrection. Look at chapter 2, verse number 1. You hath he quickened, raised from the dead. Raised me from the dead when he saved me. Look at verse number 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Present tense, sit. I'm already in heaven, not on my way. Already there. Death don't have no pull over me. See, I'm not all here tonight because I'm not all there. That's why most of the time I can't tell whether I'm coming or going. Because he told me I was already there, and my body's telling me I'm fixing to go there. You listening to me tonight? Oh, I wish we'd get a hold of this truth. Preacher, what would this truth do to us tonight? Satan couldn't use death as a leverage over us. And I tell you, you'll find yourself not becoming sinless. Oh, no, I'm not preaching that tonight. But you'll find yourself sinning less and less and less. I was a wonder tonight. You ever had a day where you pillowed your head at night? Best you knowed how, you had not committed any sin that day. Would you like to have some days like that? Walk in victory tonight. Say no to every temptation. Say no to every sin. Walk in victory. Be able to pillow your head at night and say, Lord, best I know how, unless you point it out to me, I don't know of any sin today, any violation of your law, any transgression of your law. I have not openly disobeyed you in any area of my life today as far as I know. And if you don't point it out, I'm going to sleep tonight with the peace that I have been more than a conqueror today. I've walked in victory. Preacher, how in the world can I do that tonight? You'll only do it when you realize that death's already been taken care of and that sins have already been dealt with. I was thinking in closing tonight. I read this story years ago. It was such a blessing to me. There was a little Indian girl out west. She was playing outside of their little lean-to shack that they had. Some rocks behind her shack. And while she was playing around after a rattlesnake bit her on the leg, they were a long ways from any kind of medical service. Her elder brother sensed immediately what had happened. He made a little incision with a little pocket knife right there where she had been bit. And he sucked on that bite for about 15 or 20 minutes till he couldn't suck any more blood out of it. He'd suck it for a while and spit it. Her brother died that night. They found that he had a little pierced place in his mouth. Suck that poison into himself. I'm here to tell you tonight, that's what my elder brother did. Oh, I had been bitten by the poison snake of the fall. Oh, I was deplorably evil. But Jesus sucked all the poison out of me. He died, and I'm going to live forever. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Death ain't what it seems. Would you stand with us tonight? Father,